Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A happy Thursday. Welcome into Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetQL Network. We got a great show for you guys today. We got some live golf going on right now in Memphis, the FedEx St. Jude Championship. Chris Kirk is out to the early lead at 7 under par. We're going to continue talking plenty of football throughout the show today. Tim Fitzgerald standing by. Going to start our Big 12 previews as we look at Kansas State for the upcoming season. Also going to finish up our NFC North preview today as we look at the Detroit Lions. We are right in the middle of August. It's August 15th, so we're going to look at some baseball futures during the glass ball. Matt Horner is going to join us for Model Making Money, and then we wrap everything up with our favorite plays for today. As always, any questions, comments, best bets, thoughts that you guys have for us, especially on Kansas State, the Detroit Lions, go to twitch.tv/BetQL or YouTube/Odyssey Sports. And if you miss any part of the show over the next 30 minutes, make sure you check out the Send It In podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts. All of our college football previews are there for you to check out. Let's get this thing going. Glasses in session. We go to the glass or guest line. Check in with Tim Fitzgerald. Give him a follow on X at LifeFitz, publisher of Kansas State Sports On the Go, power on 24/7 Sports. Tim, great having you a part of the show, man. And I'm really excited for this Kansas State team this season. I know there's a lot of expectations there in Manhattan. The vibe that you're getting right now, do people feel like it's either playoff or bust for K-State this year?
In some ways. I mean, the reality is you're starting a sophomore quarterback who's in his first tour as the starter. So there might be some ups and downs, and you're not sure about your depth there. And seems like quarterbacks get hurt in this conference a lot. So there's some caution to go with it. But Avery Johnson has people pretty fired up. His skill set's pretty elite. He's a natural leader. And the defense looks pretty salty, too. As we venture into a new version of the Big 12, in which we don't really know what the pecking order will be, but I think Kansas State feels like it might be up towards the top, if not the top. So, yes, you win the conference, you're in the playoff, and that is the goal.
What have you seen out of Avery Johnson so far? We all kind of got a glimpse of him in that bowl game last year, Tim, but just watching him throughout camp and now watching him a full offseason, knowing that he's going to be the guy. Will Howard's obviously moved on to Ohio State. What have been your impressions of Avery so far?
He's regarded as a generational type player, and he's one of the fastest guys, if not the fastest on the team. He's got running back skills at quarterback, but also a really live arm. And I think what makes Avery even more special is his leadership abilities that are just kind of natural, his maturity, which is unique. I mean, last year as a true freshman, people regarded him as a leader because he was so good at it and so natural with it. So there is a lot of optimism around him. The downside of that is it makes it hard to recruit other quarterbacks. And so every other scholarship quarterback, including Will Howard, left the program at season's end and left the job to Avery, as everyone expected it would be his. And they've had to rebuild it a little bit around Avery. And still, there probably will be a drop-off if something happens to him.
Do you see a path where he could win the Heisman Trophy this year? I mean, when we think of Kansas State, we really don't think of teams with, like, high-powered, explosive offense. But you talk about the talent and the potential. You think if everything goes right this year, there's a chance that he winds up in New York and could be lifting that Heisman Trophy?
I guess there's a chance. You check his odds, it's, you know, maybe a top 12 chance. Ironically, Will Howard's above him, so that's an interesting development and shows how deep that room was last year.
Yeah.
Look, you know, to win the Heisman, you got to put up really gaudy numbers. And K-State's offense hasn't typically been prone to do that. It's get up and keep the ball away type offense, not just keep racking it up. So that will be, you know, something to overcome, trying to get over like 3,500 passing yards with whatever he needs running the ball, which he'll probably get. Is going to be a challenge in this offense, particularly when he's got some good running back options behind him in DJ Giddens and Dylan Edwards, where he can turn around and hand the ball off and watch someone else do the work. So I don't think he'll be able to get the numbers to be in the Heisman race as a winner, but maybe enough to make it to New York, at least this year. Keep in mind, he's only a true sophomore.
That's true. Tim, so you mentioned those running backs. I know the wide receiver room's got a lot of production. Cephas transfers in from Penn State as well. You mentioned, though, the way that Chris Klieman's kind of built this program is they like to get up and then they like to lean on their running game and that offensive line. They have to replace a lot of production this year. What's been the level of concern around the O-line for Kansas State? Do you think at this point they've kind of figured out who their starting five is going to be, or are they still trying to work through that?
I think they're pretty close to that starting five. Interestingly enough, they lose like three starters, but they return three starters because injuries were happening last year. So despite rebuilding, they do have some experience along that line. But I guess the biggest question is, how do you replace a Cooper Beebe? I mean, the guy is going to go from college to starting on the Cowboys offensive line for good reason, because he is an incredibly physical, dominant interior lineman. And I don't think K-State has that in the group they have coming up, but they should be pretty solid. And also keep in mind that Connor Riley is a proven offensive line coach who's now the offensive coordinator. So if the offense sputters because of the line, Connor won't have to look far to figure out who's at fault. So I think the line will be okay. Will it be as dominant out of the gate as K-Staters are used to? Probably not. And they don't have a whole lot of time to develop that with Tulane at Tulane in week two, which is an interesting step. And then having Arizona in week three as a non-conference game, you're not messing around.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that schedule in a little bit, Tim. Before we do, just want to ask you about the other side of the ball, the defense. They are returning quite a bit of production. I know they're excited about some guys in the secondary, some of their defensive ends as well. How good do you think that K-State defense can be this year?
I think it could be really good. I mean, everyone's so fired up talking about the offense, but quietly, the defense might be the better half of this team. They do have some young defensive ends that are really dynamic and going to be fun. They go really deep at defensive end despite losing some players over the last few years. It's been an area of emphasis in recruiting, and they hit some home runs, they feel like. Linebackers, they've got some experience with some really gifted young guys behind them. They're really strong at safety. They've got a elite frontline speed at corner. So they feel like they got the elements to be a really good defense. And they're going to tweak it a little bit, because sometimes double tight end running formations gave K-State problem with their 3-3-5 alignment. And so they're going to have some sets that will bring a fourth lineman on the field, hopefully to address some of that.
And then you talked about the schedule, Tim. And obviously we had the AP Top 25 poll come out earlier this week. It's all projection. We don't know what these teams are going to look like at the end of the season. But as it stands right now, the three ranked opponents that K-State currently has on their schedule, they're going to get all of them at home, which is very favorable. Mm-hmm. As you know, though, some of these Big 12 games on the road can be a little bit tricky. They got road games in Morgantown this year, at Ames playing at Iowa State, the Colorado game could be tricky as well. When you look at K-State's schedule, there's not really a game that sticks out and you're like, that's a definite loss, but you can see them maybe tripping up at like four or five different games. What do you think's the toughest game on their schedule this year?
Because of those home games, I think everyone's a little bit leery of closing the season late November in Ames, Iowa, against a really undervalued Iowa State team. I think this is an Iowa State team that's going to contend for the Big 12. They return a lot from last year. They got off to a slow start last year, but are really good. And that's not to downplay how good Oklahoma State and Kansas are coming in conference games. Arizona is a little bit of an unknown, but that also is strangely a non-conference game because they couldn't get the schedule sorted out on short notice. So I would probably circle, if you want to talk about the game the fans are most psyched for, it's got to be the Kansas game because this is an excellent KU team. This is a legitimate top 25, and if Jalen Daniels stays healthy, this team's going to make a push. And if that push includes winning in Manhattan, watch out, the Jayhawks are rolling.
Tim, can you ever remember a year where the Big 12 has had this many teams that you can make a case for that they could win the conference?
Well, I can, but in the past, the outsiders always pointed to Oklahoma or Texas, and they didn't really feel necessarily there was much competition there, while in reality, over the last 4 years, seven different schools have been in the Big 12 championship, and the only one to duplicate was Oklahoma State, and they lost both. So it's been a really competitive conference for a while. A lot of teams can push for it. I think most people expect Utah and Kansas State to end up in Arlington. They don't play each other, which is a twist. So if those two stay the course and pan out and their quarterbacks stay healthy, as we know Cam Rising has had some issues there, but he's an outstanding quarterback and leader, that will make a tremendous Big 12 championship. But as you know, there's other teams, and typically the Big 12 doesn't go as planned.
This is true. Tim, before I let you go, what is your prediction for the season? Right now, odds makers see Kansas State, their win total's at 9.5. So they see them right there, kind of a double-digit win team, right behind Utah as the favorites to win the conference. What's your prediction for the Wildcats this year?
I've been saying 10-2, and I feel like that's pessimistic. This team, you know, as you mentioned, the odds favor K-State going 12-0. The odds are odds, and they could be wrong. And again, in the Big 12, chaos seems to ensue whenever you put the football field out to play. And it's going to be interesting to see how it pans out. But I'll say this, typically for K-State fans, the easiest bet in Vegas was the over-under on the win total. Vegas had a knack of always underestimating Kansas State and just handing out money for the over. That's not so true this year. 9.5 is an aggressive number for a first-year quarterback and some of the rebuilding going on. But again, there is a great deal of optimism, and they expect to cover that. But you got to play the games.
You sure do. Excited to watch them and Avery Johnson as well. He's Tim Fitzgerald. Give him a follow on X at Life of Fitz, publisher of Kansas State Sports on GoPower for 24/7 Sports. Tim, really appreciate the time. Hope to catch up again at some point, and enjoy the season.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Tim Fitzgerald joined us here on Send It In as we continue our preview of the Kansas State Wildcats. You can see their schedule on the screen right now if you're watching with us on Twitch and on YouTube. Now, I was talking about with Tim, right? The AP Top 25 poll came out earlier this week, and all three of the ranked opponents right now on K-State's schedule are home games. The Kansas game, as Tim mentioned, Oklahoma State, and Arizona. All three of those games right now are at home. But then I talked about some of those tricky road games, right? Colorado coming out of the bye week. Maybe there's a little look ahead for Kansas State with the West Virginia and Kansas game on deck. And then that game, the end of the year, that Tim thinks is going to be the toughest one, and I tend to agree with him, at Iowa State, is going to be really, really difficult. That game might determine potentially which one of those teams get to play in the Big 12 championship out in Dallas. So an interesting schedule for Kansas State. Their win total is sitting at 9.5. The over is plus 110, and the under is minus 135. There are six games this year, and it's those six games that I mentioned, the three home games against ranked opponents and those three road games against Colorado, West Virginia, and Iowa State, where they're not definite wins, but they're not definite losses either, right? Like, we've seen schedules this year like Iowa at Ohio State. We know that's going to be a loss. Teams that play at Georgia, we know that's going to be a loss. Kansas State, I mean, hypothetically, like, if they won every single one of their games, it might be surprising that they go undefeated, but I don't think anybody would be shocked if they win any of these games. Meanwhile, there are six games on their schedule that I could be like, yeah, I could see them losing those games. I think of those three games against ranked opponents at home, I think they go 2-1 in those games. My guess is that the Oklahoma State game, they probably drop, and then of those road games, I don't think they're going to win all three. I think they either go 2-1 or maybe 1-2. I think 9.5 truly is the perfect line. So I'm staying away from that. They're plus 375 to win the Big 12. I think they're going to be in contention, certainly, but I think there are better bets on the board, as Tim was mentioning. Usually the Big 12, I mean, there have been seven different teams out of this conference that have made it to the Big 12 championship game. There's usually parity. There's usually teams that contend that we don't expect. So I think there's better value on some other teams, so I'm not betting that either. They're plus 275 to make the college football playoff. I think the Big 12 is probably going to be a one-bid league this year. It really never got the respect it probably deserved when Oklahoma and Texas were in the league. Now that those teams are left, I don't expect them to get even more respect out of the committee this year. So I think it's probably going to be a one-bid league, so I'm not betting either of those things. 80-1 to win the national championship, I'm going to pass on that. The bet that I do like is Avery Johnson to win the Heisman at 25-1. If you are a believer in Kansas State this year, you think they go over that win total, you think they win 10 games, even if they don't win the Big 12, even if they don't go to the college football playoff, I think there is a chance that he wins the national championship. And he's the kind of quarterback that we look for, that you want to buy into to win the Heisman Trophy, because he's the kind of guy that could throw for 30 touchdowns and rush for 15. He's got that kind of ability. Tim was saying, I mean, he's a generational type talent in a sense. Was his athletic ability and his arm strength there? It's tough recruiting other quarterbacks to come in to Kansas State because he's only a sophomore and they know that they're not going to play over Avery Johnson. So he is a big time talent, and certainly playing in the Big 12. You know, the defenses, the talent isn't going to be as good as the Big 10 or what the SEC is. He could put up some big numbers. Kansas State has a good season. That would be the only bet that I would make this year, would be Avery Johnson to win the Heisman Trophy at 25-1. I'm staying away from K-State's win total, them to win the Big 12, them to make the college football playoff. But Avery Johnson, a guy that I like this year, win the Heisman Trophy at 25-1. All right, let's talk about the Detroit Lions now here on Send It In. We were talking yesterday about the Chicago Bears. We've talked about the Packers. We've talked about the Vikings. I think this is the second best division in the NFL behind the AFC North. And I think the kings of the NFC North this year are going to be these Detroit Lions. As a matter of fact, I like every team future for the Lions this season. I like them to win the NFC North at plus 135. I like them to make a bet on them to win the NFC at plus 550. I like a bet on them to win the Super Bowl at 12-1. I like their over 10.5 wins at minus 135. I take the over 11.5 wins at plus 160 as well. I'm all in on the Lions this season. And the big reason for it is because of the schedule. Whenever we do a college football preview, we always talk the schedule, right? I just did it with Kansas State. We talked about the ranked opponents at home. That's obviously advantageous for them. You got some tricky games on the road. Is there any quarterback in football more dependent on playing games at home indoors as opposed to outdoors in cold weather than Jared Goff is? We all know the record. We all know the statistics. We all know what a different quarterback he is when you can get him outside in cold weather. When you get him inside, though, in a dome with that offense, with that O-line that he has, he's really, really good. Look at Detroit's schedule this season. Look at the road games that they have, right? So 17 games, 9 of them are going to be at home this season. Look at the 8 road games that they have to play. They're on the road at Arizona. That's an indoor game. They're on the road at Dallas. That's an indoor game. They're on the road at Minnesota. That's an indoor game. At Green Bay, that's outdoor. At Houston the following week, that's indoor. At Indianapolis, that is indoor as well. He has to play at Chicago and at San Francisco as well. Of the 8 road games this season that Detroit plays, 5 of the 8 are indoors. It's incredible. 14 of the 17 games that Jared Goff and the Lions are going to play this year are indoors. And another one of those road games are at San Francisco. So the temperature is probably going to be pretty good. This is a team that kept Ben Johnson for another year as their OC, which is obviously huge for that offense. It looked like Jahmyr Gibbs kind of got past, we thought maybe it could be a serious injury. It looks like he's going to be okay potentially for week one. I think they have the best offensive line in football. Their defense continues to improve. Dan Campbell has proven that he is a very good coach. The Lions finally got over the hump last year of breaking through, winning the division, winning some playoff games. They were up 17 points at halftime in the NFC Championship game. I really like Detroit this year. I'm all in on them in the NFC. Take them to win the division. Take them to win the NFC, the Super Bowl. Go over their win totals. I really don't like any of their players in the individual markets. I wouldn't bet Goff MVP. I wouldn't bet Amon-Ra, Jahmyr Gibbs, Offensive Player of the Year. I think maybe there's a case for Amon-Ra if you had to take somebody. Wouldn't take Aiden Hutchinson, Defensive Player of the Year, Dan Campbell, Coach of the Year. But I do think the Lions are going to get the number one seed in the NFC. And a big part of it is because of that schedule and the fact that 5 of their 8 road games this year are indoors. That is a big deal for Jared Goff. And if they win as many games as I think they're going to win and they get the number one seed in the NFC, Jared Goff's going to get to play all of his playoff games indoor at Ford Field. So I am big on the Lions this year. That is a team I like quite a bit. All right, we got some questions coming in here on Twitch at Jack Vittori on Twitter. One big lead is crazy. I mean, we'll see, Jack, just the way I think that the Big 12 is going to look this year opposed to some of the other conferences. I'm interested to see if some of these sports books post over-unders on teams to make the college football playoff. I would think the SEC is around 3.5, 4.5, Big 10 probably 3.5, and then the ACC and the Big 12 probably sitting at 1.5. Look, it's the first year of the playoff, so none of us really know how this is going to shake out. We've obviously had conference realignment. We had Oregon and Washington move over. We had Texas and Oklahoma move over. We've had teams come into the ACC and the Big 12. So we're going to get a lot more high-profile games in conference than what we're used to. And obviously, without the divisions anymore in either of these conferences and with auto bids, the teams winning their championship games, we don't know what any of this is going to look like. My thought process, though, going into the college football season this year is I'm thinking the Big 12 is probably going to be a one-bid league. Certainly wouldn't shock me if they were a two-bid league, but I'm thinking that they're probably going to be a one-bid league. So, I mean, you probably figure that there are going to be like 3 or 4 teams in the SEC that get to double-digit wins. It's probably going to be the same deal in the Big Ten. If they got double-digit teams in the SEC and Big Ten, it's going to be tough to put the Big 12 teams over those teams. B-Mills, I've got one afternoon matchup in the tourney. If you're interested in Paige, I got Maverick McNeely over Taylor Moore round one at minus 120. What do you think? I like it, B-Mills. Chris Kirk, who's having a great first round, is a guy who's not the longest of hitter, but he's an accurate player, and he's a very good putter. That's what Maverick McNeely is. So I think he could have some success. Great conditions out in Memphis today. So I like that play, B-Mills, at minus 120. All right, let's talk some baseball real quick. Look at some futures. We're right in the middle of August. Some divisions that stick out to me right now. The Yankees have a half-game lead over the Orioles currently. O's are plus 120 to win the AL East. Honestly, I really don't have too many thoughts on this division. I think the Yankees and O's are both going to make the playoffs. My stance on this has always been that the Orioles are in the driver's seat to win the tiebreaker against the Yankees. And I think this division could come right down to the last series of the season. All the O's got to do is take one of those 3 games in the second to last series of the year in the Bronx, and they win the tiebreaker over the Yankees. Jackson Holliday's here to stay. He's been on a tear. O's obviously have a ton of pitching injuries. The Yankees pitching has regressed a little bit as well, but I would still go with the O's, and you're getting them at plus money, so I like that as well. Guardians, I like them to win the AL Central. The Royals and Twins have kind of made it tough on them. They've caught some ground, but now the Guardians have won 5 in a row. Looks like they're going to be good there. The AL West, I mean, we've been talking about the Astros for months on this show. They're finally starting to hit their stride. They've won 8 in a row. They're going to win that division over Seattle. The Phillies are slumping right now, but so are the Braves and the Mets, and there's no team that's really nearly as good as the Phillies, especially with all the injuries that the Braves are dealing with. So Phillies will be good in the NL East. The NL Central, it's kind of crazy. At the beginning of the year, I thought that this was the only division in baseball where you could really make a case for any one of these 5 teams winning that division, but it's been the Brewers from start to finish, and now they've separated and they've created a big lead, 8.5 games. Don't see anybody catching them, so I like them. The division I think that could get interesting is the NL West. And yes, the Dodgers are starting to get a little healthy, but the D-backs and the Padres are not going anywhere. And the prices that you're getting right now on both of those teams to win the division, I think are too good to pass up. Whichever team you like better between San Diego or Arizona, I would take a stab at. Padres are plus 500. Arizona's plus 700. They're only 2.5 games back. They still have series coming up against the Dodgers where they can obviously gain ground on them head-to-head. So I think for the price alone, both of those bets are good value on either one of those teams. All right, let's go to Model Making Money now. Check in with Matt Horner joining us here on Send It In. And Matt, before we get your best bets today on the diamond, what are the 5-star plays that BetQL has for us today?
Yeah, so we actually don't have a five-star play. We have a really small baseball slate. As you know, there's only about seven games today. But I do have a four-star play for you. We're going to go with the over in the Nationals and the Phillies game. It's at 8, so it's a pretty low run total. You got Mitchell Parker on the mound for Washington. Regression candidate, 3.83 ERA, 4.50 expected ERA, 4.21 expected FIP. The Phillies are better against lefties. They have a 1.19 WRC+. Versus a 102 versus righties. And on the other side, Zach Wheeler going, the ace of the Phillies staff, he actually is also due for some regression. 2.78 ERA, 3.0 expected ERA, and a 3.51 expected FIP. Washington in their better split as well against a righty. So we like the over here at 8. We just think that's a little too low.
All right, very good. Matt, what about yourself? What do you like as your best bet tonight in baseball?
Yeah, so I'm going to go with the Texas Rangers tonight at home. I view this game as kind of a coin flip, honestly, and if we're getting the Rangers at plus money, I'm going to take them at home here. Take a look at the starting pitchers. You got Bailey Ober is on the mound for Minnesota. I like him a lot. I think he's a above-average starting pitcher. His numbers say the same thing. I'm a little worried about his BABIP. 241 BABIP, though, and he's going up against a Rangers team that's been really hot over the past week. They've gone from an 88 WRC plus against righties to a 93 in a week. So their bats have really started to get hot lately. On the other side, I like Cody Bradford as well, a guy that typically nobody really hears about, but he really did good against the Yankees in his last start. 5 innings, 1 earned run, 7 strikeouts, 0 walks. He's also due for more positive regression, 3.60 ERA, 3.30 expected ERA, and a 3.58 expected FIP. 67% strand rate. Everything points to him being a great pitcher. And the Twins, on the other hand, they may be without Byron Buxton again. They're already without Carlos Correa, and they've been on a slide a little bit against left-handers here. Bullpen-wise, Minnesota does have the advantage, but Texas is one of the best defensive squads in the league. They are first in outs above average, and they are 10th in defensive runs saved. So overall, I think it's pretty much a toss-up, but I'm going to take the plus money with the Rangers. So give me them on the money line and the first 5 money line as my best bets.
All right, very good. A lot of good stuff there on Texas tonight. Matt, what about any home run player props that you like tonight in baseball? Anybody you're targeting?
Yeah, as usual, going to give my best offense here. I like it's actually starting pretty soon. I like the Los Angeles Dodgers a lot today. So if you're watching this right now, look at some Dodgers props. They're taking on Tobias Myers, who is a guy I have been fading a lot. 2.79 ERA. You take a look, you think he's like a Cy Young candidate with those types of numbers, but he's more of an average pitcher. He's got a 3.90 expected ERA and a 4.01 expected FIP. I expect him to get crushed. The Dodgers are getting healthier, as you said. Mookie Betts isn't in the lineup. But obviously, Shohei Ohtani, left-handed bat, he crushes right-handers. I expect him to have a good performance. Take a look at Teoscar Hernandez as well. Take a look at Freddie Freeman. Will Smith to get an RBI I like as well. He's batting cleanup. So give me the Dodgers today. I really like their offense against Myers.
Very good. Matt, before I let you go, I was just talking about the divisions in Major League Baseball right now. Anything that sticks out to you, any bets? Maybe you haven't pulled the trigger yet, but something you're monitoring, whether it be division, whether it be NL Pennant, World Series, anything that catches your eye.
Yeah, so two teams that I really like. You were talking about the Phillies struggling recently. I think their price is still good enough now on their World Series future. I really like the Phillies in the NL. I think they're the most complete team. I love their bullpen as well. And then on the other side, I like the Yankees in the AL, another team that people just don't seem to ever want to believe in because they're just like, oh, it's the Yankees. They won't win the World Series, you know, laughing at them like the Cowboys and stuff like that. But I really like the Yankees as well. Their offense is great. And those two teams are my favorite. You were talking about the Padres in the NL West. I've been talking about the Padres a few times I come on the show. Yeah, if you can get that plus 500 to win that division, I absolutely love that as well. Extreme value for them. Love their bullpen, their offense as well. They don't strike out a lot against righties, which is another thing I really like. So I love the Padres there. And some straight, like exact World Series bets that I've been thinking about sprinkling on. Yankees to beat the Phillies is 19-1. And the Phillies to beat the Yankees is 22-1. So think about sprinkling maybe like a quarter unit on those at some extreme value.
Very good. A lot of great stuff from Matt Horner joining us, Model Making Money here on Send It In. Matt, always appreciate the time and insight. We'll catch up again soon.
Sure. Thanks, PJ.
Yes, sir. For those people who want to continue to bet but don't have the time to research each individual game, you need to download the BetQL app. It ranks each game on a 1-to-5-star scale based on its unbeatable analysis from spreads and over-unders to player props. Stay up to date and bet confidently with BetQL's help. All right, guys, time to wrap the show. PJ's plays here. on Send It In, and we are going to Rafi Devers to get a base hit tonight for the Red Sox against the O's. Devers 6-for-13 in his career against Zach Eflin, who's obviously spent time in the AL East with the Tampa Bay Rays. Devers batting .299 this season. Good history against Zach Eflin. I like Rafi to get a base hit today. Prop lock is going to be in that same game. Gunnar Henderson over 1.5 total bases at +125. Gunnar's starting to heat up. He's starting to hit extra bases. He hit his 30th home run of the year last night, and I like this price at +125. We'll take Gunnar over 1.5 total bases. My dog of the day, I'm sticking right in that same game. Give me the Red Sox +115 against the Orioles. The last month and a half or so, the Orioles, it feels like as soon as they make a little bit of progress, they come right back down. Or as soon as it looks like they're getting ready to spiral, they kind of win and bring you back up. Right now, they have a 6-game lead over the Red Sox in the second and third in the AL East. The 4-game series starting tonight at Camden Yards. Big series between those two. I like the Red Sox, and I'll take them +115. And my best bet going to be the Lions to win the NFC North at +135. Once again, our best bets for today. Rafi Devers is our playing going streaking. Gunnar Henderson over 1.5 total bases is our prop lock. Red Sox dog of the day +115. And the Lions to win the NFC North is our best bet +135. Thanks again to Tim Fitzgerald and Matt Horner for joining us. Tomorrow we look at the UCF Knights. We'll see you then.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.